In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God, our Father, and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Thank you.
let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, give us an increase of faith, hope, and love, that receiving what you have promised, we may love what you have commanded. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday in Apostles' Time is from the fifth book of Moses called Deuteronomy, the seventh chapter. You are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. From this time forth and forevermore, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever.
As Zion surrounds Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time forth and forevermore.
For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous stretch out their hands to do wrong.
Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts.
But those who turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord will lead away with evildoers. Peace be upon Israel.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, from this time forth and forevermore.
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the eighth chapter. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died,
More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then, in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was thrown into the sea and gathered fish of every kind. When it was full, men drew it ashore and sat down and sorted the good into containers, but threw away the bad. So it will be at the close of the age. The angels will come out and separate the evil from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes." And he said to them, "Therefore every scribe who has been trained for the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who brings out of his treasure what is new and what is old." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceedeth from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Picture yourself walking through your neighbor's field on a fine July morning. As you walk along, you look down and you see a burlap sack. So you look inside of it, and then you see many gold coins. Are they yours for the taking? Does the rule finders keepers apply? Now, I did a little research on Massachusetts law. I'm not a lawyer, nor do I play one on TV. But this is what I found. They ain't yours. If you take them, you're a thief. Yet here in Jesus' parable, we hear about a man who finds a treasure in a field not his own, hides it, and buys the field to get the treasure. Now, it seems like a violation of the commandment about coveting. We should fear and love God so that we do not scheme to get whatever belongs to our neighbor. Jesus' parables quite often are jarring. He presents us with situations from ordinary life, and yet there always seems to be a twist, a conundrum, something that makes you go, In the parable about the treasure, we're left asking several questions. What is this hidden treasure? Who is this man? And what is the field in which the treasure is hidden? We can answer that last question now. In an earlier parable in this same discourse of Jesus, our Lord says that the field is the world. And the world was snatched by the devil at our fall into sin. So the man is recovering, buying back what is his. The field is the world. Now, what about the man and the treasure? When a rich young man came to Jesus asking about obtaining eternal life, Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven." So it would seem that Jesus wants us to understand that there is nothing in this life more important than eternal life. And since eternal life is in Jesus, we must sell all, if you will, for him. Certainly, Jesus is the most valuable treasure you could have. We even have a hymn in the Lutheran service book that says, "Jesus, priceless treasure, source of purest pleasure, truest friend to me." So it's understandable if we think that that's the meaning. However, there's a few details that don't quite add up. Let's ponder this parable a little more before we jump to a conclusion. The field is the world. Does Jesus mean that you are to buy the world? That's what the man does. The field is the world, he buys the field. So that's the first issue we need to work through. The man finds a treasure in the field. He sells all that he has. He buys the field so he can own the treasure. Does that really fit with the previous interpretation? I can't buy the world. I can't buy the kingdom of God. I can't even believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him by myself. We are dead in trespasses and sins, and newsflash, dead people can't do anything. Our sinful flesh, even if it were to stumble upon Jesus and the kingdom, would not find him of any earthly value. Our first parents, think about that, our first parents had the tree of life in the garden. They chose the other tree, and the fruit they ate rotted them to the core, rotted us to the core. What do we have that we can sell so that we can buy the treasure if we wanted to? We are like the Laodiceans, poor, miserable, blind, and naked before God. Remember, Jesus was despised and rejected. In fact, chapter 14 starts with a rejection of Jesus. And so this interpretation only leads to the false idea that we can redeem ourselves. And of this kind of thinking, if we have it, we must repent. So we need to turn this right side up. The man buys the field, the world. Are you following me? Who purchased the world? Who has loved the world so much that he's redeemed, bought back the world for himself? God did. Jesus Christ bought it at the price of his blood. St. Peter states it this way: you were redeemed not by corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. And St. Paul has written, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth a propitiation by his blood. What then is the treasure so valuable that he would do such a costly thing? That treasure is those for whom he died. That is how highly he has inexplicably valued the human race. He died for all. God so loved the world that he did this. But Jesus said the man bought the field to gain the treasure. Yes, indeed. Jesus did just that. Jesus Christ shed his blood not merely for his elect church, but by his death he has ransomed the world. John the Baptist put it this way, and we'll hear it later. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He died for all. His blood is a ransom price for all. God sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, for all as the propitiation, the complete satisfaction by his blood. This, my friends, is what we Lutherans call objective reconciliation or objective justification. Christ has paid for the sins of everyone. To redeem his people, he redeemed the world. There's not one person who has ever been or will be for whom Christ has not died. God in Christ reconciled the world to himself. Believe it. Now, what about the other parable about the man in search of fine pearls? It's the same, only different. A merchant is searching for high quality pearls. He finds one of exceptional quality He sells everything he has and he buys it. Again, we can dispense with the idea that we can buy Jesus. We have nothing that we can sell, and he is not for sale. Now, there are two interesting points about pearls. First, the very nature of a pearl. A pearl is formed in an oyster by the oyster to protect itself from an irritant. Something gets in, it starts coating it so it feels better. The oyster is just trying to get rid of a problem. And this has really nothing to do with the parable, except that I can't stop thinking about how deep in the heart of this pearl is something that is nothing but a pain, kind of like my sinful old Adam. But the most interesting thing about Jesus' parable is this. The Old Testament knows nothing of pearls. They are not mentioned once. There's a reading of pearl in some translations of Job 28, but scholars agree it's incorrect. However, pearls are mentioned 10 times in the New Testament. And in the book of Revelation, the gates of the New Jerusalem, the eternal city of God, the Holy Church, are made from 12 precious pearls. We have a hymn, again, that says, "Of one pearl each shining portal." So the New Testament in Christ is what is in view here. What then is this pearl of such great value that he would do such a costly thing? That pearl is the church. Again, Paul, "Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her by the washing of water by the word, that he might present himself to himself, the church, as a glorious church." Glorious? But his church is made up of sinners. We're no better than the rest of the world, right? Indeed. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. Such reception of righteousness by faith is what we call subjective reconciliation. This is the objective reality of Christ's redeeming work applied to you and received by faith. And by this, you are now firmly his own. God loved the world in this way. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. As Moses told our fathers when they were preparing to cross the Jordan, "You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you to be a people to himself." And Paul, writing to the church at Ephesus, says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him, in love having predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us." Christ bought the field to gain the treasure. He sold all he had, gave his life to buy the pearl, his beloved church. Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Baptized into Christ, you are members of that church. He has purchased you. He has won you. He has snatched you from the world and made you a citizen of his kingdom. In him you have forgiveness, life, and salvation. free of charge to you. Let me close the loop, though, and say something about Jesus' words to the rich young man. That man came to Jesus wanting to know what good thing he needed to do to have eternal life. There's the problem. Jesus knew his heart. The man thought he could purchase forgiveness, life, and salvation, or earn it by his works. He claimed that he kept all the commandments. So, what do I lack? That's when Jesus peeled back the hypocrisy of his answer. His outward works were likely commendable. You'd have liked him as a neighbor. But the riches of this life meant more to him than the eternal life he thought he sought. Jesus told him to sell all he had in order that his true self might be exposed. And sadly, he went away sorrowful because his possessions meant everything to him. There's always the need for us to remember our tendency to be like him, to cling to the world. We often forget just how wonderful it is that Jesus is our priceless treasure and that him is correct. When we do, it's time to repent. It's time to repent and to believe the gospel. But keep this in mind. Jesus is mine because I am his. He has purchased and won me. Out of great mercy, he has considered you worth all that he suffered in order to redeem you. Why? Simply because of his great love. The love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What can we say to these things? He who did not spare his son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all good things? In the name of Jesus. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs.
Almighty and eternal God, worthy to be held in reverence by all people everywhere, We give you humble and sincere thanks for the innumerable blessings that you have bestowed on us without any merit or worthiness on our part. We praise you especially for preserving for us your saving word and the holy sacraments. Grant and preserve to your holy church throughout the world purity of doctrine, and provide faithful pastors to preach your word with power. Help all who hear the word rightly to understand and truly to believe it. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Send laborers into your harvest and open the door of faith to those who do not know you. In mercy, bring to repentance the enemies of your church and grant them amendment of life. Protect and defend your church in all tribulation and danger. Strengthen us and all fellow Christians to set our hope fully on the grace revealed in Christ, and help us to fight the good fight of faith, that in the end we may receive the salvation of our souls. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
We give you thanks for the service of Pastor Ed to the Saints of Christ Lutheran Church in Troy. Bless him, Kathy, and the entire flock. Grant your blessing also to Pastor Steele and his wife Robin, to his travels, preaching and teaching, to her studies, and to their service as missionaries. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Bless Camp Pine Shores Sunday School Week, that the campers, pastors, and staff might grow and be strong in your word. Grant them safety and joy, and build godly friendships among the campers. Lord, in your mercy. Bestow your grace on all nations of the earth. Bless especially our country, its inhabitants, and all who are in authority. Let your glory dwell in our land, that mercy and truth, righteousness and peace may abound in all places. Watch over and uphold all expectant mothers and their unborn children, including Carrie, Jamie Gale, and Jalen, and give them great joy at the time of birth. Lord, in your mercy. Graciously defend us from all calamity by fire and water, from war and pestilence, from scarcity and famine, and from every other evil. Protect and prosper all who labor in their rightful callings. Let all useful arts flourish among us, and protect all who travel. Lord, in your mercy. Be the God and Father of the lonely and the forsaken, the helper of the sick and needy, the comforter of the distressed and those who sorrow. Have compassion upon Pepper, granting her the help and restoration that she needs. Don, as he recovers from his mini stroke. Carrie, as she undergoes testing. Randy, Kayla, and George in their recoveries. Pat in her hospitalization. Drew in his upcoming surgery. And Mike and Heather and their family as they grapple with his terminal diagnosis. Look with mercy on all who have asked for our prayers, including Dan and Jen and their family, Maureen, Heather and Mike and their family, Jack and Debbie and Nicole. And grant your comfort to all who mourn, especially to Kay and her family, mourning for her father, Jim, and to Tiffany and her family, mourning for her aunt, Julia. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith, and to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy. As we are strangers and pilgrims on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lord our God.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, for you have mightily governed and protected your holy church, in which the blessed apostles and evangelists proclaimed your divine and saving gospel. Therefore, with patriarchs and prophets, apostles and evangelists, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord God of Sabaoth, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Oh,
Psalm today is Psalm 119, verses 141 through 148. Healing. I am your servant. Give me understanding, that I may know your testimony. I have done what is just and right. Do not leave me to my oppression. Give me your servant a pleasant good. Let not insolent oppress me. My eyes long for your salvation and for the fulfillment of your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your steadfast love and teach me your statutes. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. It is time for the Lord to act. For your law has been broken. Therefore, I love your commandment above gold, above fine gold. Therefore, I consider all your precepts to be right. I hate every false way. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. I am your servant. Give me understanding that I may know your testimony.
Thank you.
Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Sent your only begotten Son into the flesh. We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you